If you got your Bibles, I want you to go to Ephesians 3:20. Now, I preach around this a lot. If y'all write your Bibles, that John Smith preacher, I have preached around here, but I'm preaching another one from this passage. And then I'm going to, here's what we'll do. This morning, I'm going to preach from this passage. Then tonight, I'm going to preach from another passage that says the same thing but builds upon this one. And I'm going to quote it here in a minute. If you believe this Ephesians chapter 3:20, you ought to say a hearty amen in a moment.
Amen.
And I want to preach. I'll give you both titles so you can kind of get where I'm going here this morning. The Bible says, now unto him, that's God, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, that's the Holy Ghost, that worketh in us. So what God said, he said, I'm able to do abundantly above you're able to ask or think, and it's going to be done by the power that's already there in you. Now let me give you another verse. If you want to turn there, you can, but this will be more for tonight. It's a phrase. Over in 2 Chronicles 25:9, this phrase is there. Now unto him that is... let me go over. I'm going to goof that up. I know I am. I'm so excited about preaching this morning. I know me. I'll foul something up. You go over there with me. 1 Chronicles 25:9. And I'll give you the context of it tonight. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? Then I'll give you that background tonight. And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. So, this morning, here's what I want to preach on. God is able to do this, what I preach on this morning. Tonight, I'm going to add 3 more thoughts to it, and God is able to do much more than this. But I want to give you the this morning, and then we'll go and give you the rest of it. Next, or Sunday night. And don't miss tonight. It's going to be a wonderful message. And you want to hear the rest of this. But I want to give you the first part and build the foundation. There are 2 points I'm preaching on this morning. And my wife said it's not my main points that really bother her. It's all them sub points. So you'll understand what she means today. If you have your Bible, I want you to go to the most familiar verse in the Bible. The one you grew up on, the one you was able to say when you was a child, whether you're lost or saved, you're probably familiar with this verse. And the Bible said in John 3:16, go there with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. I'm going to give you 2 points today. Number 1, God is able to save your soul.
Amen.
Then number 2, God is able to keep you saved.
Amen.
So, how many's glad about that?
Amen.
Some of you done dally in your mind said, well, here's one of them once in grace, always in grace preachers. I'm going to shock you. I don't believe that. I do not believe in once in grace, always in grace. And if you do, you believe false teaching. Well, it's quiet in here now. Here's what I do believe. What say? Always saved.
Amen.
You could be in grace and then get in disgrace real quick. But you can't get unsaved after you've been saved.
Amen.
Whew, glory to God. God is able to save your soul. What I mean by saved, in the physical sense, to save one from injury or peril, to save a suffering one from perishing, that is, one suffering from disease to make well, to preserve one who is in danger of destruction or save or rescue, to save in the technical or biblical sense, to deliver from the penalty of a Messianic judgment, to save from the evils which obstruct the reception of the deliverance of our Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. In John 3:16, there's three things I want to give you in point number one. God's promise to save. First of all, I want to tell all y'all, it's an old promise. Genesis 3:15, he said that he'll put enmity between the woman and the serpent. And that serpent will bruise the heel of that enmity. But that enmity will bruise the head of the serpent. That's the first Messianic prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation, the Bible says, I like this right here, tells us that Jesus was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 1:20 said, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. I want you to know, my salvation is an old promise. For he hung the sun, the moon, the stars. He done promise he'd save me. Whew. Some of y'all look at me. What is wrong with you? You ought to be shouting. Let me stop. I think he ain't there yet. Before anything was made, God, in his foreknowledge, planned a plan. Put your name in it, Dave Riddick. Put your name in it, Grant Humphrey. Put your name in it, Joe Fisher. Well, glory. I want you to know God Almighty done that. It's an old promise. Amen. Number two, I like this right here. It's an ongoing promise. I want you to know something. He that heareth his words and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life. It's ongoing. And by the way, the Bible said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's ongoing. Oh, somebody help me right there. It's also an open promise. It's open. The Bible said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Open. I'm saying to you, if you're a sinner in this room, you're lost, look at me right now. You come to Christ this morning, he will not turn you down. He will not say no. He'll save you by his grace. You might say, I've been too wicked. I've been too bad. I've been a mess. My life's a mess. It don't matter. He's got a miracle for your mess. Whew. Glory. But not only is promise, you know, promises a lot. Ain't we been hearing a lot about promises lately? Broken promises. It'll keep your insurance. Period. Is that why 5,039,000 ain't got none? So look at me. I'm talking a promise that has power behind it. Has influence behind it. Somebody help me right there. First of all, I like this, and I'm going to preach just like the old-timey people did. He has power to call the sinner. Listen to me, ain't going to be no sinners saved until God calls them to be saved. No man cometh unto the Father unless the Father sent me draw them. I still believe in the drawing, wooing power of the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about coming and signing a card. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost shaking over you and showing you're a sinner and showing you're going to hell and convince you of that and draws you up here. Amen. Phew. Phew. Amen. I want you to know something. We're getting away from that. Now, we ain't. I'm talking about modern Christianity and even most Baptists. They done left off old-timey conviction. You got to know you're a sinner before you can be saved. And God ain't going to leave it up to you. He's going to send the Holy Ghost to do that. And He also has power to convert the sinner. Let me give you about six things or five things that might make you happy. If He comes and saves you this morning, first of all, number one, all sin is immediately and completely forgiven. Past, present, and future. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins, all our sins. According to His riches and glory. I want you to know something. My Savior, you come this morning, will save you and forgive you of all sin. Today's sin, the past sin, and tomorrow's sin. Glory to God. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Then the Bible said, secondly, the sinner becomes a child of God. The Bible, now listen to this. Boy, I'm going to get right down where you're living. Now are we the sons of God. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now you say, why do you? We say, now. Right now I'm saved. Right now I've got everlasting life. Right now I've got eternal life. Right now I'm on my way to heaven. Somebody help me right there. Is that good or not? Whew. Oh man, I like that. Let me give you this. Number three, the sinner is delivered from sin. First of all, the penalty of sin, that's justification. The power of sin, that's sanctification. And the presence of sin, that's glorification. God saved me from the penalty of sin. I can't go to hell. I can't go to hell. I want to go to hell. I can't quit. I may quit church. I may quit acting like a Christian, but I can't quit being saved. I just may get to heaven quicker than I wanted to go. Then the power of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, you're under grace. Amen. That's progressive sanctification. And then the presence of sin. And I'll never have to hear a curse word. I'll never have to hear a lie. Whew. Let me give you this. A sinner becomes a joint heir with Jesus. Wait a minute now. David, if I was a joint heir with you, how well off am I? You got a whole bunch of money. Am I in trouble? Can I give you some news? I'm not a joint heir with you. Joint heir with Jesus. Everything that's His is mine. Already mine. Not to be mine later. Now I'll enjoy all the full blessings of it later. Whew. Listen to this. Boy, isn't this good? The sinner inherits a heavenly home. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. How many believe that? He done went and prepared. I know some of these new Bibles. If y'all got one here, yours says a room. You can go ahead and live in your room if you want to. Are you liberals that's using other Bibles that's listening to me by the way of live stream and you're going to hear my sermon Wednesday? Can I tell you, you can have your room. I'll take my mansion. Amen. Feel better. My God, talking about a mansion. Huh? I'm talking about a mansion. Not a mansion. Not even anything that can be built by man today doesn't match up to your mansion. Whew. The sinner becomes a saint. Hey, Roger, we don't have to wait 400 years to get to be one. I got to be one the day I got saved. St. John. Now, I don't call myself that because I don't always act saintly. My root will not let me call myself St. John. Huh? Are we going somewhere? Let me give you a third thing here and get to the second point. He has also, God has provision to save us. Now, what did I say so far? He promised to save us. He has power to save us. But now I'm going to show you the provision that He has to save us. Number one, he provided a precious substitute. You can't die for yourself. You die for yourself, you're in hell. You can't keep the law and be saved. You try to do that, you're in hell. But Jesus Christ became our sinless substitute. Took my sin on the cross of Calvary. Bore it for me. And number two, he provided a perfect sacrifice. Thank God he settled it once and for all. Some of you that have a little trouble with eternal security, let me tell you, he settled it once for all. He paid your sins. Why are you trying to do stuff to pay your sin when he already paid for you? You say, well, what makes him get enough to do it? He didn't have no sin in his blood. And when he shed his blood on you and you received his blood atonement, guess what happened? You did not have any sin that redeemed you. We were not redeemed with a corruptible thing such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, without blemish and without spot. Whew. Man, y'all with me? He provided a plan of salvation. When Jesus went on the cross, he said this Greek word on the cross that means this. When he hung there, after they done throwed a spear in him, after he had been mocked, he said, Teleiase. I'm not talking in tongues. That's Greek for what I'm about to say. It is finished. The plan's finished. God's son died, was buried, rose again. It's finished. I want to tell you the only thing right now, you need to receive that plan. Amen. Number two. Roman numeral two. How many of y'all think we're doing all right? Now, God say, how many of y'all believe God's able to save? Yes. Now, let me quote you an Old Testament scripture. Whatsoever God does, he does for what? Ever. Nothing can be put to it nor anything taken from it, for God does it. That's Ecclesiastes 3:14. And Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. So if salvation is of the Lord and God does it, what's that tell you? You're saved forever. Woo! Ain't no Armenians here, are there? That's people believing to be saved and lost, saved and lost. Do you know how ridiculous that really is? You're telling God Almighty his work at Calvary wasn't enough. Whew. Let me give you three things real quickly. First of all, 2 Timothy 1:12. Go there. Go 2 Timothy 1:12 real quickly. I'm just going to give you one verse out of there. This one right here ought to make you shout. If there's any shout in you, this verse alone ought to make you shout. It's already got me shouting. Look at 2 Timothy 1:12. Everybody there? Amen. Oh, that's weak. Everybody there? Whew, you scared me. For the which cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Are you with me? Three things. Paul, speaking here, Paul's conversion involved a person. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I didn't believe in Muhammad. I didn't believe in the Christian scientist way and the Eastern religion way. I believed in the whom. And the whom is Jesus. He said, I can't feel. Not only did it involve a person, it involved a plan. Look what it says there. It said, for I know whom I have what? Believed. That salvation can't be worked up or prayed down. The only thing you can do is believe it. And then it involves permanence. I have believed in the Greek, the verb is in the perfect tense. That means that it is in an action that has been completed in the past and once for all, he has, and he will never repeat it again. Somebody help me right there. God had a plan. And it's a permanent plan. Number two, Paul's confidence. Well, it's placed. Some of you probably think, boy, you're acting awful confident about going to heaven. I'm totally confident. I want you to know something. There ain't 1% of doubt. I don't even have it as 1/100% of doubt. But I ain't going to hell. No doubt. You said, not just a little bit. Now the devil tells me I'm not saved every once in a while. And I just take him to the Bible and I say, you're a liar. Paul had confidence. First of all, it was based in the person of God. I know in whom I have believed. Listen to me. Hold a minute. I do not have confidence in these people that say, well, if your good works outweigh your bad works, you're in hell. If you just hold on, you're in hell. Oh, I'm going, son. You've got to keep the sacraments every Sunday and confess your sins. You're going to hell. You said, you're too bold. Well, I ain't bold. That's just Bible. That's a little milk. I'm just drinking some. No, I'm not drinking skim, and I'm not drinking 2%. I'm drinking whole milk here. Then it's based on the power of God. Boy, y'all, when he is able to keep. And First Peter said we're kept by the power of God. But number three, it's based in the promises of God. Now, let me give you some things here, some promises. You tell me if you like this or not. First of all, salvation is by grace and not works. Everlasting means exactly what it says. Everlasting life is a present possession. Salvation is Christ's gift and will never be revoked. Nothing can be removed from His hand. The believer is no longer condemned. Sin is not charged to the believer. My Lord, nothing can separate the believer from the love of Christ. The believer will never be cast out. The believer has been born again and cannot be unborn. The believer is called a child of God and the Father. And the Father's child's relationship is one that cannot be ended. Y'all with me? Then lastly, y'all, here's, I'm done. Paul's commitment. No wonder I got confidence. There's some religions up the road here. I'm just going to tell you, I don't have no confidence in them. I just don't think it got the goods to take you to heaven. This group up here preaching something other than the grace of God ain't going to get you nowhere. Might get you some church membership, but most of them don't even believe in church membership. And they don't believe in a local church. They believe in some kind of universal by the way, when they die, they ain't got no universal pastor to bury them. And when they need somebody married in their family, they ain't got no universal pastor to do that. I don't believe no universal church other than God's whole body in heaven and earth. And that's a local body. Somebody help me. I didn't really mean to preach that. Lastly, number three, Paul said, I know whom I have believed and I am committed that he is able. Lastly, Paul's commitment. First of all, he committed his soul. Oh, man, that's a big thing. You know, them people run into the World Trade Center. They died for how many virgins? 70 virgins. You know where they're at? They're burning in hell right now. And you're going to burn right with them. I want to tell you, I wouldn't want to be with that bunch. You're going to burn right with them if you reject Christ. He said, I committed my soul. I'm going to tell you what, that's a whole big step now. I mean, that's eternal life. I've done committed that to Him. Hey, listen, I'm just going to tell you like it is. I'm either going by His grace or I ain't going. It's either all grace or it's not of grace at all. Number two, He committed His service. I'm talking about total surrender. He said, Lord, here I am. I remember when I got saved. I not only committed my soul, I'm going to tell you what, I said, I'm yours. 6 months later, I was called to preach. 6 months later, I was pastoring a church. 39 years later, I'm pastoring here. And been pastoring here 35 years and about 4 months.
Amen.
I just commend my service.
Amen.
That ain't me. Ain't me. I just committed me to Him. And feeling like whatever's in me that He put in me, the Holy Ghost, it'll get the job done. God will use any old bush. There's some of you here, you've never committed your soul. You better today. But there's a lot of you here that never committed your service. And then lastly, He committed His salvation. He said, He speaks of that day. Let me explain something. I don't want this to confuse you, but I really want you to understand. I am saved. I'm being saved, body. And I will be saved. That's justification. I am saved. I'm being saved. That's sanctification. And glorification is that day. I'll have a new body. Woo! Glory to God, I'll be able to get that bow out and it won't hurt my finger. Y'all pray for me. I'm going to try to go bow hunting one more time this week. By the grace of God. But no trees. Oh, I got a couple of deacons looking real mean at me. Hear me out. It all boils down to this. If you're here and you're lost, or you don't know for sure you're saved because you tried to get saved the wrong way, you need to commit your soul and your salvation. But there's some of you need to commit yourself. I'm going to tell you, there's some in here, God really wants to use you, and you need to commit yourself this morning. There's a whole pastor of you young people God wants to use, but it can't be both ways, kids. It's got to be you sold out to God. Mom and dad of these kids, you need to be sold out to God.
Amen.
Bow your head with me. I'm finished.